question, and it's a part of our holiday gift ideas and series so that we can start thinking about good green gifts. Enjoy your day, and we'll be right back tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Barry Bonds indicted by a federal grand jury on 5 counts. Perjury, obstruction of justice.
Barry Bonds has a very good chance of being found not guilty on these charges.
Baseball Slugger's attorney John Burris, CBS's Steve Futterman.
Bonds is basically being charged with lying and not being honest with federal investigators who were probing the Balco case. This is that Bay Area laboratory that got involved with giving steroids to a number of athletes. Barry Bonds has always denied that he used knowingly performance-enhancing drugs, and the key word was always knowingly.
And Barry Bonds has always blamed the media for his issues, like this blast from the past.
You guys wanted to hurt me bad enough, you finally got there. You wanted to bring me down, you finally brought me and my family down.
CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
It's a straightforward perjury case. If jurors believe Bonds and his witnesses, he'll win. If they believe the government's witnesses, he'll probably go to jail.
Hey, airports like this one going to be crowded as they've ever been during the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. The White House stepping in today.
In the hope of reducing air travel delays over the Thanksgiving holiday, President Bush announced that military airspace over the East Coast would be available to civilian airliners.
These new routes will help relieve air congestion from Maine to Florida for nearly 5 full days surrounding the holiday.
The action adds only 2 north-south routes to the hundreds now used by civilian aircraft, but an FAA official likened it to adding an open lane on a crowded highway. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Former pilot Jim Higgins is an aviation expert.
It sounds really good to say that we're going to refine our procedures and we're going to help increase our capacity, but the fact remains it's going to take some time to actually reroute and redesign.
More of us traveling by air and by automobile, too. Troy Green, AAA.
We are estimating that 38.7 million Americans will travel this holiday season, and that's a 1.5% increase from last year.
Congress versus the Pentagon. It's about money. Democrats voting to turn off the money tap to fund the war, the military reacting.
Obviously annoyed that the majority Democrats did not grant the money he told Congress is necessary. Defense Secretary Bob Gates is now threatening a shutdown.
The military would cease operations at all Army bases by mid-February,
causing temporary layoffs, he said, for 200,000 civilians. Gates says the administration is starting to pull forces out of Iraq and has changed the mission, so he wonders why defense spending is held hostage when the only arguments, he says, are about timing. Dan Raviv, CBS News, the Pentagon.
In Islamabad, Pakistan. Street protests of the military government in Lahore. The house arrest of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto lifted. Strong troop presence still there, but they say she's free to leave. Another downer day on Wall Street. The Dow dropping 121, NASDAQ off 26 points. This is CBS News.
Where shall we go? There shall we go? Things that are small, bumps, big and tall. Traffic's a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Holiday jams. They're great for toast, bad for last-minute shopping sprees. Steer clear with a Garmin Nuvi with traffic alerts.
Traffic ahead.
Give a Garmin. Preserve your sanity with a Garmin Nuvi. Find it at your favorite retailer.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renters insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renters insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Do you IM? Texting does turn out to be an easy way to say things that are hard to say otherwise.
An AP AOL poll of teenagers finds 43% put info in instant messages they'd never say to a friend in person. 17-year-old high school senior Cassie Hobart in Frenchburg, Kentucky, says it's the truth.
If they don't really answer the way you would expect, then it's not really a big deal because by the next day everyone's pretty much forgotten anyway. It's not like a face-to-face personal thing, you know?
22% used IMs to ask people out or accept dates, and 13% have used an IM to say, sorry, things aren't working out, we should break up. Steve Kaith and CBS News.
Up your mind, let your fantasy.
The Phantom and His Mask are home alone again tonight. The stagehand strike continuing on Broadway. More than two dozen shows closed. No talks even scheduled till the weekend. Loss estimates range from $5 to $17 million a day. This is CBS News.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
Didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your Work Life Rewards card, buy multi-packs of ink, and recycle three HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworkliferewards.com for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show is not brought to you by Clean Coal, America's Power. That was presented by a grant from the Peter B. Collins Foundation. We've got lots to talk about, great people to talk with, including you, the listeners of this program. You can dial in anytime, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 1-888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Have you heard about the Krongard brothers? There's Cookie, and there's Buzzy. And I've got four brothers with nicknames, too, but if one of my brothers worked for Blackwater, I think I'd know about it. Later this hour, Matt Renner will join us from truthout.org. He's covering the testimony of one of the Krongard brothers yesterday. The guy is supposed to have been the Inspector General of the State Department. We'll give you the details in about half an hour. Next hour, Scott Dick joins us on the program, as usual. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. We'll get his take on the House version, the bill that surfaced this week, $50 billion for Iraq. But there's strings attached, like the troops have to come home by a year from December. And waterboarding is explicitly banned. Also on today's program, we'll open up the phones in the free speech zone to talk about Death Squad Johnny Negroponte. They've sent him over to talk to Pervez Musharraf. Yeah, two pervs in the same room. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But first, let's kick it off with some actual factual information from Faz Shakir. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress in D.C., co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. And boy, there's a whole load of news coming out of the Progress Report and thinkprogress.org. Hey, Faz, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you this week?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. I was kind of blown away by the Think Progress item today. That here we are speaking on Thursday, and there is a Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas. And this is one of those things that will not stay in Las Vegas, unfortunately. But you have broken the story that Clean Coal, America's Power, is one of the lead sponsors of this Democratic debate.
That's right. It almost slipped under our radar, but we were thumbing through the New York Times this morning, came across the ad for this CNN debate tonight, and right at the bottom in very tiny lettering, it says, sponsored by Clean Coal. And we looked into it a little bit. If you go to the CNN website for the debate, you'll even see the coal industry's nice ads up there as well. And we thought it was interesting, something worth highlighting for our readers. And, of course, the reason why we suspect they're doing this is because they've been pushing for a number of new coal-fired power plants in Nevada, and Senator Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, has been courageously pushing back on that, and so now I think they're trying to buy their way in into the debate.
Now, let's be clear here. The sponsorship is between the coal lobby and CNN. None of this money is actually going to the Democratic National Committee.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. None of the money is going to the candidates. It's a CNN partnership with Clean Coal. Clean Coal's money presumably is going to CNN and CNN alone. Mm-hmm. The only other sponsor of the debate is Hyundai, the car maker. And so, I think that's the only partnership we know of.
So, polluters and foreign automakers sponsoring CNN's coverage of the debate. They couldn't get, McDonald's or some other good all-American company to sponsor it?
Well, that's what's sad about the whole situation is, here we have a political debate and we're celebrating American democracy. We should be talking about the issues that matter, and energy is certainly one of them. But we have these negative influences trying to assert themselves on the margins through money. And I think that's fine. We live in a commercial free market economy where people can buy those types of ads, but it's our responsibility to make sure people know about what's going on and to highlight it.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting here, and it'll remain to be seen if any of the Democrats, of course, they don't see the commercials when they're on the podium there or on the stage for a debate, and so it's quite possible they won't talk about this. But it'd be nice if the coal industry paid tribute to all the miners who lost their lives in coal mining accidents in the past year or two.
True. Yeah, Sago and West Virginia. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, the way I thought we should have approached it is, if the coal companies are going to be running ads during the course of the debate, let's have Wolf Blitzer ask the candidates about clean coal, and let's have all the Democratic candidates come out firmly against it. And I think that's the best way to combat their influence here.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see. Now, what else are you expecting from this debate tonight? After all, Hillary Clinton is on the defensive on a number of fronts. Do you think it's going to be another pile-on, as Bill Clinton says? Are the boys going to rough her up?
Well, I think the key question for the Hillary campaign going into tonight, I think a question that they were trying to weigh is whether to go on the attack or not. And, if you look back at the Hillary Clinton campaign's response over the past few weeks, they've tried to keep it positive. They don't want to talk about the attacks on her. They'll largely shift them away and talk about the Republican candidates or talk about their own positive agenda. And so they've allowed attacks from John Edwards and others to come in a one-directional manner. And so I think the question they have to confront going into tonight is whether they're going to respond with a tit for tat and go after either Senator Obama, Senator Edwards on their own. And my sense is they probably won't because they're still leading comfortably in most of the states. And I don't think that they are too worried about losing their lead. But if she does, I think it'll reflect the changing dynamic that I think is going on, which is that the gap is closing and the race is getting a lot tighter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm just imagining that Wolf Blitzer is feverishly working right now on his gotcha questions, trying to match up with Tim Russert, who has hit Dennis Kucinich for admitting that he saw a UFO, and Mike Gravel when he used to be invited to the debates for his bankruptcies. And I just imagine he might do a comparison, saying that, John Edwards has been dinged for his fabulous hair and his $400 haircut. But they might do the parade. I don't know if you remember seeing the Hillary's Hair website. But, she's changed her hairstyle about 42 times since she entered the public arena in the early 1990s. And I'm just waiting for somebody, in one of these debates to trivialize it by saying, if you can't keep a steady hairstyle, how can we really believe that you'll be a steady leader?
It is the kind of nonsense, horse race kind of trivialities that we've come to expect from debates. I hope that it doesn't go there. The way that CNN has structured their debate tonight, I think they're splitting it into halves. Then the first half is going to be largely moderated by Wolf Blitzer's questions. Second half, I think, is going to be questions from Nevadans. about mostly Western issues,
mm-hmm.
And land use, those kinds of things. And so I think we're going to have some new interesting questions, particularly in the second half, that hopefully address kind of local concerns. I don't know what Wolf Blitzer is planning to do in his time.
Yeah, well, I hope if we're going to hear a lot of Nevadans ask questions, I hope that somebody will ask about Yucca Mountain
and the
future of nuclear power, because the Bush administration has a whole new initiative to fast-track the construction of nuclear power plants, and they're blowing right past the central problem, which is we have not come up with a way to deal with nuclear waste.
Yeah. No, I imagine if that doesn't get asked, I will be shocked.
Yeah. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. You can call us if you have a question or comment at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Faz, I'd like to take a look at the first 48 hours of government service of Michael Mukasey, our new attorney general. And Dianne Feinstein's right. He's not Alberto Gonzalez. I don't know that that'll matter within a couple of weeks, but it's interesting because, as you reported yesterday in the Progress Report, he appears to have made a little breakthrough where he has gotten security clearances for investigators looking into the illegal wiretapping activities authorized by Ashcroft, Gonzalez, and Bush. We know now that the actual wiretapping activities started before 9/11 in February or March of 2001. So on the plus side, or at least from PR perspective, it appears that Mukasey has gotten something from Bush.
Right. Yeah. Now, in his second day on the job, Mukasey is already kowtowing to the administration's desires, and he sent a letter off to Patrick Leahy saying that that they are going to firmly oppose the Democratic plans to update the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
And this gives me whiplash. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we have Mukasey, first day on the job, saying, "Look, I got the White House to stop blocking clearances for people who want to investigate their illegal activities." And on day two, he tells the Senate that he would recommend a presidential veto for any modifications of the FISA Act, which, of course, was badly modified by the House and Senate just before their summer vacation.
Right, right. On the first thing that you raised about, remind me of that issue again.
It's the Office of Personal Responsibility investigation into the so-called warrantless wiretapping program.
And I looked at that question, Peter, because I was interested in the question of, did Mukasey cause this to happen? Was he responsible? And we looked back and we saw that Dick Durbin specifically asked him this question: will you allow the Office of Professional Responsibility to continue their investigation? In a written question to Mukasey. Mukasey answered on October the 30th. And he said that the decision had already been made to go ahead with it. So the decision to restart the investigation predated Mukasey. Now, you could say that was an olive branch to the Senate to say, okay, now confirm Mukasey. But that certainly was not a decision made by Mukasey. That predated him.
Well, and there's some fast play here, at least it appears to me, because they want to distract us with the idea of, oh, yeah, we're going to investigate that. But the very bill that is working its way through the House and Senate, the biggest pivotal issue is whether they give amnesty to the phone companies and prevent any lawsuits that would expose what actually occurred in this warrantless wiretapping program.
And on that score, Mukasey equals Alberto Gonzalez, and he's no different than anybody else in the administration. He doesn't assert that kind of independence that we had been hoping for. I mean, I think what's most disturbing about this is that he was so adamant in his letter to Patrick Leahy that he won't even consider an alternative point of view. He's merely drawing the red line in the sand and saying that I'm not going to listen, sticking his fingers in his ears. And I think that we had hoped that Judge Mukasey would be somebody who would at least entertain an argument. And I think that sends off warning signs about what kind of attorney general we're going to be dealing with here, somebody who's catering already to the Cheney demand.
Well, I hear John Mellencamp producing a new song in honor of Feinstein and Schumer. It'll be Chuck and Diane with some Mukasey lines in there. I'm going to have to work it up, and maybe we'll get around to that next week sometime. Faz, we take a break and return. Want to talk with you more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our guest is Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. More in a moment on Peter B. Collins.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour, as we continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Their lead story in the Progress Report today is all about the Krongard brothers. We're going to go into detail with Matt Renner about that, but I recommend the Progress Report piece on it, too. Faz, just a couple of other items here. We heard earlier this week that Marcos from Marcos Moulitsis Kunalaka, he's got three names. I guess he's trimmed back to two, Marcos Moulitsis. He, of course, is the co-host in Daily Kos, and he's been hired by Newsweek as a contributor. And the other shoe has dropped. Why don't you tell us?
none other than Karl Rove is going to be the individual who will be, quote, balancing Marcos, you know, in the post that he wrote up announcing that he was going to be taking on this position with Newsweek, Marcos said that there would be an unidentified other conservative who was sure to make liberals angry, but he couldn't reveal the name at that time. And he said that this person was had been chosen because they were trying to balance each other out. And so now we know it's Karl Rove.
Now, did Ann Coulter turn them down?
Good question. I'm sure that she was on the list at some point. They probably decided that Turd Blossom was the way to go.
Oh, God. I thought we were going to have a break from him, but not to be. I want to credit you and your team for your lead story in the main package in the progress report yesterday, because there's been very little reporting on the details of the writer's strike in Hollywood. And it's changed my life. It's really sad for me that The Daily Show isn't on every night when I'm ready to go to sleep. And it hasn't changed anything on this program because we don't have any writers.
Because you got yourself, Peter, and that's all that's needed.
But you offer some very interesting information here about the posture of the industry, the way they have reaped big new fortunes from DVDs, and just how unwilling they are to share those profits with writers and with talent. As you probably know, Faz, I've been active in my union for many years. That's AFTRA. We represent newscasters and actors on TV programs that are shot on videotape. And the Screen Actors Guild represents the actors who perform on film. And our fortunes are heavily linked to the Writers Guild. Usually the deals they cut are the pattern that affects the contracts in the rest of the industry. So we're all watching with great interest this showdown between the writers and the industry, and it appears that the industry is really hunkering down for a long strike.
Yeah, no, and they're playing hardball, particularly NBC. I think that the key thing that we wanted to get across is that this writer's strike goes back quite a ways. There's quite a bit of history involved in this, and we went back to the 1980s where we noted that the writers had taken an 80% cut in pay in order to kind of help the industry along and with the promise that they would renegotiate this contract over time. And then once these new media sales came on board, these DVD online marketing stuff, that they wanted a cut of that. And so this is a long-running feud, if you will, that's been going on. And because of the industry's unwillingness to renegotiate, that is what has precipitated the conflict now.
Well, and the industry keeps telling the unions, you know, it's a little early to assess this online thing. It's too early to really figure out how much money is coming from DVDs. And that is a pile of horse doo-doo.
Yeah, I think that that's still one step too far. I mean, even regardless of what the money is, let's go to the question of do they deserve the cut or not? Even if there's zero money, even if there's one penny that comes out of it, do they deserve a cut of it? Of course they do. Of course the writers deserve a cut. And that's what they haven't been willing to settle on. And then we'll see it. Maybe it earns $1 million, $2 million, hundreds of millions of dollars, or maybe it earns not very much at all. In any case, whatever comes out of it, the writers deserve a cut of.
One of the other roadblocks that the networks and the advertising agencies have thrown up is they say that they can't track commercials. And we know the talent people who've performed in commercials who don't get paid properly because the ad agencies, whoever is responsible for paying them, simply doesn't report that your commercial played in Atlanta for 13 weeks. And we've said, look, there are electronic ways to follow these things. That's how you handle your billing. And they keep saying, oh, no, there's no way to really track the talent on the commercials. We can't do that. Why don't we have a study? And the next time the contract is open, we can take another look at it. And that's been their posture for a long time.
You know what's so great about this is that it's educating the American public about the tactics that go on with union workers every single day, the bullying tactics that are done at corporations all across the country in attempts to force things onto workers, and the types of hardball tactics that are played. You know, there's misinformation, general just bullying. Or
Faz Shakir, well said. Thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Kyocera, people-friendly printers and copiers only from Kyocera. I'm Charles Osgood. Warren Buffett is a very rich, very smart, and very generous man. He's not the richest man in America. His friend Bill Gates is, with a fortune estimated at $52 billion. That's $1 million 5,200 times over. Buffett must be sick of reporters talking and writing about how much money he has, as he told one yesterday outside the U.S. Capitol.
Well, if you write a story, tell them how good-looking I am.
Sounds like a nice guy. He is a nice guy, and a cheerful, upbeat one. As he just got finished telling the members of Congress he was testifying before.
We do not have a broken system in the United States. I'm a bull on America over time. We'll have recessions from time to time and all of that.
Maybe you and I would be more cheerful about it, too, if we had $52 billion. More from the Sage of Omaha after this.
Have you heard the news about Kyocera?
In business news, Kyocera begins an ambitious extended-term reliability test on their high-speed, 80-page-per-minute KM8030 MFP.
Independent testing firm of Byers Lab pushed the start button on the Kyocera KM8030.
They've been testing the MFP in what they're calling real-world conditions, but what this reporter calls astounding.
The Kyocera KM8030 ran 80 pages per minute, 20,000 prints per day, through all kinds of job settings and paper sizes, running 1 million.
Well, folks, it's day 50 for Kyocera and no breakdowns yet.
Then 2 million.
100 days and only routine maintenance.
Past 2.5 million pages without a single breakdown.
Byers Lab says they've never seen anything like it.
The KM8030. We don't just claim reliability, we prove it. Go to KyoceraMita.com to learn the full story. Then make your move.
The whole world smiles with you.
People-friendly copiers and printers, only from Kyocera.
Warren Buffett went to the U.S. Capitol to tell members of Congress that he is for the federal estate tax, and he doesn't want to see it reduced or eliminated.
The resources of society, I don't think, should pass along in terms of an aristocratic dynasty of wealth. And I think that's been part of the reason for the success of our economy.
And beyond that, he advised the members of Congress,
I think we ought to take a little more out of the hides of fellows like me and that Forbes 400 that have got their $1.54 trillion up 7-for-1, you know, and who on average I think are paying a lower tax rate, counting payroll taxes, to the federal government than their receptionists are. I think you ought to do something about them.
The receptionists must like that.
I can't imagine a tougher problem than living in the United States and having a $20,000 income and having payroll taxes of $3,000. Taken out of that income. So I would make it more progressive than it is now.
What some members of Congress want to do is treat anybody who makes $200,000 as if they were Warren Buffett. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And this half hour, Matt Renner from TruthOut.org joins us. And we're going to meet the Krongard brothers, Buzzy and Cookie.
Like a gift from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She had fire in her soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we say, voices rang like the angels sing. Sing it, hey, oh, hey, oh.
from the new Santana CD with Chad Kroeger doing the vocals there for Carlos. Now, I want to confess that I have four brothers. We have some funny nicknames in the family, and if you call up and ask me, I'm willing to tell you, even the ones that they assigned to me. But this half hour, Matt Renner is going to help us understand the wacky Krongard brothers, who are high-level players in Washington, D.C., one who is the State Department Inspector General and the other a former top CIA dude. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? Good.
It's just get a little warmer, though. I miss that summer weather in November.
Yeah? Yeah, I understand that. Well, you're doing great work over there at Truth Out. We miss you here at the radio show. But I wanted you to help our listeners understand about Buzzy and Cookie and the embarrassing episode before the Waxman Committee on Capitol Hill this week.
Yeah, it was actually one of the most entertaining committee hearings I've ever watched. And for people who don't really enjoy committee hearings as much as I do, it was actually worth it. I think that there were some highlights, which is amazing, because usually they're dull and you never really know if the answers are revealing or not until later, and everyone seems to be asking the same questions after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was actually pretty interesting. The House Oversight Committee is the main investigative body in Congress that is partisan is controlled by the Democrats.
Right.
And they do pretty good research. I mean, they have an investigative team that seems to really be on top of a lot of stuff. I have my issues with them, but I'm sure you know they haven't interviewed Sybil Edmonds yet.
Yeah. It was, despite I think it was a pretty explicit promise from Henry Waxman that he would do so.
Yeah, according to Sybil it was. But, you know, that's a whole other can of worms. This hearing was on the State Department. And they've been looking pretty closely at Condoleezza Rice and the State Department's activities, especially in Iraq. They're building a massive embassy there, and there's been all kinds of problems with it, allegations of fraud and use of slave labor.
That's right.
Contracting company.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, and the State Department has been, the main people that have been paying Blackwater to protect them and covering up Blackwater's tracks. Apparently, when Blackwater goes off or Blackwater contractors go off and shoot the vice president of Iraq's bodyguard because he was drunk.
Well, in the incident in Nisour Square in September, only 14 of the 17 people who died were killed without any reason whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, and the State Department has been accused of actively covering up for their contractors that are clearly corrupt, or at least there's a very significant lack of oversight. And that oversight is supposed to be the job of this guy, Cookie Krongard. His real name is Howard.
Right.
And he's either inept, which is one of his arguments during the hearing, or he's corrupt, and a liar, which is what the evidence seems to be pointing to, in my opinion.
Well, he was caught in a very serious misstatement of fact.
Right. He claimed that his brother, Buzzy Krongard, a former top CIA official, was not connected or did not have financial interest in Blackwater. And he said that he asked his brother, who apparently, while he was at CIA, had dealings with Eric Prince of Blackwater and helped him get some contracts through the CIA, who became a part of the advisory board to Blackwater International or Blackwater Worldwide recently. And his brother Howard claims that he asked his brother Buzzy about his connections with Blackwater, and his brother Buzzy said, "I'm not connected to them. I don't have any financial connections to them." So this is what Howard said to the Oversight Committee. And the Oversight Committee went and got all these documents from Eric Prince, the CEO of Blackwater, looked through them, and it turned out that he had sent an invitation letter to serve on the Blackwater board and a confirmation letter to serve on the Blackwater board saying that, he should be attending the first board meeting where he'd get paid to $3,500 and all his expenses paid at a hotel in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be on the same day as this hearing. So the Oversight Committee staff called over to the hotel to see if Busby had checked in, and it turned out he had. And so they told Congar this information, and he said, and he stuck to his guns, and he said, I dispute that. He has no financial interest with Blackwater. But then there was a recess for the House to go vote, and when they came back, they moved on and were talking about other things. And then Howard said, let me make a statement to correct something. And he said, I just spoke to my brother, and it turns out he is on the board of Blackwater. And, you know, this prompted Henry Waxman to say, you know, what's going on? Do you and your brother not like each other, basically, or is there a problem with your relationship? And Howard said, no, it turns out, or we just don't talk about our professional work because it would be clearly compromising to our jobs if we knew what the other one was doing.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting part is, and this came from the amazing site, TPM Muckraker, which is talkingpointsmemomuckraker.com, they called Busby Krongard and got him on the phone and said, so is your brother, did you really lie to your brother? Because the timing of it all made it so that he'd have to have lied or misled his brother. And he said, no, I stick by what I told my brother before he, you know, before I joined the board that I was going to do that. And I stick by what I told my brother. And the way that they're going to try to wriggle out of this, like the slippery folks as they are, is that basically, apparently, he told his brother that he was going to serve on the board, but any money he got from Blackwater was going to be donated to charity.
Oh, yeah. Like Dick Cheney's Halliburton options.
Exactly. Like those ones that are going to be donated to charity at some point.
Right. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
For the Cheney contributions.
I'm going to start a front charity so I can get half and save it for him as a payment or something.
We're talking with Matt Renner, reporter at truthout.org here on the Peter B. Collins Show about the wacky Krongard brothers. And, Matt, I first heard about these guys when the issue surfaced about Howard Krongard in his work as the Inspector General of the State Department. It was Robert Perry who told me the history of Busby and Cookie in Washington. And these guys have been, you know, sucking up the government trough for a long time. And so it's just fascinating to see this play out so publicly and to see the embarrassment of a Cookie or Howard before the Waxman Committee yesterday. Now, I wanted to notice to see if you noticed some of his body language, because one of the news accounts I read said that he was really confrontational and very, you know, brusque with people, and then he was accused of treating employees with, you know, anger and irritation. What did you pick up?
Right. Well, it's interesting that you raise that, because he was leaning forward and very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of cocky, kind of snide and kind of cocky. He definitely was trying to excuse his work, but, you know, or his apparent failure to actually oversee the operations of the State Department, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, he's accused of intervening or stalling or hampering Department of Justice investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And actively, you know, undermining his own investigators.
Well, like telling them don't go there, right?
Right, and telling them not to go there, but also by, you know, actually shutting down their investigations. I mean, it's really a shame. And he seemed, I mean, his whole defense was, no, I didn't. No, I didn't do that. No, what are you talking about? It was basically like, I know you have 10 or 12 whistleblowers telling you one thing, but the truth is you should believe me. And that's what the House Oversight Committee really hit on, which was very impressive. I think this was one of their better hearings. They really said, you know, they laid it out. Elijah Cummings, Representative Elijah Cummings, I think he's from Kentucky, I'm not sure, but he was very good at pressing him on these issues.
I think he's from Maryland, according to your article.
Right. Sorry about that. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. Baltimore. And, you know, he basically said, and I included this at the end of my piece, he said, the only way you can be credible is if all your employees have given sworn testimony to our committee, over a dozen, are wrong in their statements. And if the Justice Department is wrong in the information it has given us, you know, this is one guy against the whole, all these whistleblowers. So I think he's stuck. I mean, I don't see Krongard surviving this at all.
Now, as of today, I believe he has recused himself from Blackwater issues and even appears to be backing further away from any of his duties that might produce a forward apparent conflict of interest. I don't think we can fix the ones in the past.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he said that he's going to recuse himself from a lot of the embassy issues, too, in Iraq. They didn't push him on that, and they didn't get him to actually do it, but he said he was going to. Frankly, the damage is done in a lot of ways because they kept this out of the public sphere for a long time. These problems with Blackwater aren't new, and the problems at the embassy aren't new. And one of the things that he did really effectively was to delay and delay and delay and to not cooperate with the other watchdog groups and to prevent the State Department from really getting in trouble before this past election when, you know, the House Oversight Committee took this up. It's really a shame, frankly, what we're dealing with here is that, you know, I'd have to go as far as to call it fascism. With this and the attempt to legislate or to legalize criminal behavior by the telecommunications companies that assisted in the warrantless wiretapping, those two issues this week really, I think, are very important and kind of a turning point for the government. It's kind of a different issue, but legalizing spying and legalizing criminal behavior because you did it on behalf of the government, I think that's essentially what fascism is.
Well, you make a very good point. And maybe in the next segment we'll talk about the FISA bill a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on one other thing in your article here about this very obscure agency called the Broadcast Board of Governors.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that as Inspector General of State, Krongard was essentially in charge of the BBG.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really know how that happened. I think that it happened when they established the Inspector General's office and somehow mashed those two together. But it sure is a sneaky way to get somebody who you like or who's going to look the other way to help you out when you're trying to investigations at the Broadcasting Board of Governors.
Well, and this relates to Ken Tomlinson, who was a friend of Karl Rove's, and they put him in charge of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He had to resign from there after he brought us Tucker Carlson and that one-hour special with Richard Perle's exclusive point of view on the war in Iraq. And
I kind of missed that.
Yeah. Tomlinson green-lighted that. We were just talking about it earlier this week with the author of a book. Alan Weissman has written a book about Richard Perle called The Prince of Darkness. It's got a lot of good information in it. But this is just, you know, another indication of the cronyism in the Bush administration. And it's particularly egregious because, you know, Howard Krongard is supposed to be an inspector general. And these people are supposed to be above reproach. They're supposed to be able to investigate the department that they are assigned to, in his case, the State Department, and be objective and unbiased in that process. And if we extrapolate from the way he treated the Blackwater issues, we have to believe that a lot of critical criminal behavior, fraud and double dealing and cronyism in Iraq is going unexposed.
Yeah. And, you know, the Oversight Committee, and Waxman has been great on this, is actually looking very in-depthly, if that's the right word, at the activities of a lot of the Inspector General's offices. There's been a real problem under this administration where they systematically installed people who were Bushies or loyal Bushies to oversee the activities of a lot of these agencies, and in doing so have basically turned off the watchdog function.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Matt Renner from truthout.org. You got a question or comment about the fabulous Krongard brothers? Bring it on now, toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. My email is humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with reporter and editor Matt Renner from truthout.org.
I want to be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building it with weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my time. My pants in the Congress and I show them my ass. If they kiss it, it's a ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try. Cause I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I am the meanest damn mother ever got on a mic.
That's a song of political satire that came out of New Zealand. It's a guy named Andrew Horobin and it's called Georgie Boy. We continue with Matt Renner here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Matt, you touched on this in the last segment a bit. The Senate is working through the further amendments to the FISA law that was badly amended before they went on vacation at the end of July, early August. And I just have word that the Senate Judiciary Committee has approved one clause which states that the nation's intelligence services don't need to request a court warrant to monitor foreign-to-foreign communications involving suspected terrorists. And while this report doesn't include the details, I suspect that that language includes even calls that might have been switched through the United States, which was a sticking point in the past. And so far, the committee has not voted on the retroactive immunity, which we expect Dianne Feinstein to approve, and which may grease the way for that clause to be included in the final Senate bill.
Yeah, what I'm looking at here actually is you're right about them passing that first clause, but they decided not to pass out the second clause. The second clause was the part with the retroactive immunity. So what they've done now is the Judiciary Committee basically didn't approve the retroactive immunity, which is a very good step, actually. So
they didn't approve it today, but does that mean they're finished with it?
No, what's going to happen now is the fight's going to go to the full Senate floor,
okay,
which I think is a good improvement because there are people like Chris Dodd, who's been very strong in this issue, and Russ Feingold will get to stand up and make their case, and it will get a little more attention than it has, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What we're dealing with here is retroactive immunity for these telecommunications companies, as I'm sure all of your listeners know, would basically halt all these suits against AT&T, Verizon,
right,
and others who have participated and who have been shown to participate in government programs where they've collected data and actually probably phone conversations and done so without a warrant against American citizens, which is strictly against the law. But the interesting part about the retroactive immunity, as I know that you've talked about, is that it's basically meant, and I heard you talking to Faz about this in the last half hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is the crux of the Bush administration's push with Mukasey, in my opinion. I mean, what they've done is they've had him say, or they've allowed the Office of
Professional Responsibility.
Right. Isn't it funny that they call it that still?
Yeah.
The Office of Professional Responsibility to have the security clearances that they were blocking for years to investigate the warrantless wiretapping program. But at the same time, they're saying, while you're investigating, we have to let these guys off the hook because they're clearly in trouble. And, you know, they're saying that they were just cooperating under a national security banner. But these companies have teams of lawyers. And Quest, for instance, didn't cooperate.
Yeah.
And because they didn't do so because what they were doing was illegal and they didn't want to get in trouble for it.
Right.
and they've had 6 years to review this. And, you know, 9/11 happened. It was tragic and scary, whatever. I'm not really scared of it anymore because I think there's a lot of holes in it. But at the same time, that was 6 years ago. You have to review they had to review these legal standings for this program every couple months. And they continue to be complicit with the government.
Yeah. Let me sneak in a call here. John in Carmel Valley wants to talk to you. Matt, go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Well, Matt, I want to ask you, while I can grab you, what do you think of Nancy Pelosi's not only reluctance, but I see her as a great big boulder in the way of anything regarding the whole impeachment and practically everything else. What's making her this way, in your opinion?
Let me answer that quickly, because I know we have limited time, and it's a huge subject, John. What you touched on is the fundamental fight inside the Democratic Party right now, which is something I'm very interested in, is between the conservative Democrats who are willing to bide their time and their cynical judgment to keep the war going or to not fight on the war because it's such a great campaign issue. You know, when you have Americans dying, who wants to stop that when you're in the minority and you can win the presidency? And not to mention countless Iraqis. I don't think that Nancy Pelosi is personally stopping the impeachment in the way that a lot of people are blaming her. I think that it's the Democrats in her party. Not to say that she would necessarily do it if it was her decision, but I think that it goes a lot deeper. You know, you don't want to bring up impeachment and have your own party voting against it. And there's a lot, unfortunately, the Democratic Party really just needs to get cleaned out because there's a lot of Republicans in there.
That's very well put. And Matt did the research on the Blue Dogs, who are corrupting the freshman class. Almost half of the newly elected Democratic members of Congress are part of the Blue Dog Caucus, and I think that's part of the problem. John, thanks for your call today. Matt, thanks for your work. We'll keep reading you at truthout.org.
Absolutely, and thank you, Peter.
All right. And there's a fundraiser underway, by the way, at TO. If you can help, log on to truthout.org and send them some cash.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services,
from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Baseball's home run king is indicted, but his lawyer says
Barry Bonds has a very good chance of being found not guilty on these charges.
A move to ease the holiday travel crunch.
The military will make available some of its airspace over the East Coast for use by civilian airliners this Thanksgiving.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
This is swinging a hot fly ball right center field. Back it goes. Racing back. Logan jumping up, and that ball is gone.
In August, Barry Bonds passed Hank Aaron's career home run record and went on to end the season at 762. But the San Francisco Giants dropped him, and today Bonds was indicted, charged with lying when he told a federal grand jury that he never knowingly used performance-enhancing drugs. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
There are five counts. That means that federal prosecutors only have to convince jurors that Bonds lied under oath on one occasion in one count to gain a conviction. That usually puts a lot of pressure on the defense. As a lawyer, you have to make sure you put out all five fires at once at trial.
Bonds attorney John Burris promises a vigorous defense.
Now the question is, what is the evidence that they have? Certainly, if it's based upon his girlfriend and former business partner, that's not going anywhere.
Personal trainer Greg Anderson, who'd refused to testify against Bonds, was ordered released from prison shortly after the indictment was handed up. Now this.
My name's Bear Grylls. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was get out in the dirt, knock around a bit, do anything dangerous. Just have fun. Now, it's what I do for a living. I'm headed to Panama, Patagonia, and the Sahara Desert. Don't know what I'll find there, but I'm up for the challenge. People used to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Grow up? Why would I want to do that?
Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. New episode tomorrow at 9 Eastern and Pacific on the Discovery Channel.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What is the Truman Cell? It's the best defense against bad household air on the market today, and only Orrick has it. Can it make a difference in the quality of your life? See for yourself. Try an Orrick Professional Air Purifier risk-free for 60 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get one to you faster than you can say Gesundheit. 1-800-989-4200.
There will be a slight departure delay due to inclement weather outside. The ground crew is in the process of de-icing the wings in preparation for departure.
It's the kind of announcement passengers dread, especially heading into a very busy travel period. President Bush can't do anything about the weather, but as CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports, he is taking steps to open up the skies.
In the hope of reducing air travel delays over the Thanksgiving holiday, President Bush announced that military airspace over the East Coast would be available to civilian airliners.
These new routes will help relieve air congestion from Maine to Florida for nearly five full days surrounding the holiday.
The action adds only two north-south routes to the hundreds now used by civilian aircraft, but an FAA official likened it to adding an open lane on a crowded highway. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer of New York calls this a good first step.
The real job still needs to be done, which is overhauling the FAA, putting in the modern equipment that will allow more planes to fly in and fly out, and putting the right number of people, an adequate number of people, in the control towers, which they don't have now.
On Tuesday night, a Midwest Airlines plane flew directly into the path of a United Express jet over Fort Wayne, Indiana. Carol Skornicka is a spokeswoman for Midwest.
There was air traffic control error in the instructions that were provided to the pilot.
Disaster was averted when an air alarm system went off, prompting the Midwest pilot to make an emergency climb. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says it's a serious misconception that the Pentagon can use accounting maneuvers to fund the war in Iraq indefinitely.
If the Congress does not provide bridge funding this week on a bill that the President will sign, and given the uncertainty of future action in December, by the end of this week, as a prudent manager, I will be obliged to take a series of anticipatory steps.
Those steps could include plans to lay off civilian employees and cancel contracts.
I'm Bob Foss on Capitol Hill. Democratic leaders are adamant they will not provide any more money for the Iraq war this year unless the president agrees to legislation requiring troop withdrawals. And Senate Leader Harry Reid rejects doomsday predictions from the Pentagon, noting they just got their regular budget of $470 billion.
I am confident if they didn't get another penny, they could go for another 6 months.
Reid and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi say they are tired of writing blank checks for the president to continue a war they and the American people oppose.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, bobs, big and tall. Drum, fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Holiday jams. They're great for toast, bad for last-minute shopping sprees. Steer clear with a Garmin Nuvi with traffic alerts.
Traffic ahead.
Give a Garmin.
Preserve your sanity with a Garmin Nuvi. Find it at your favorite retailer.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renters insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's 6 minutes after the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour we spend with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And Bruce Springsteen has a question for you. Who's going to be the last to die? The last to die for a mistake.
Kids asleep in the backseat. We're just counting the miles, you and me. We don't measure the blood we've drawn anymore. We just stack the buttons outside the door.
Thanks for joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to welcome our listeners from KGOE in Eureka. There were some technical problems with the satellite receiver last hour, and you joined us midway through the hour. But you get to hear this entire hour and next hour, too, hopefully uninterrupted. Our thanks to Tom Seaborn, who's sitting there right in front of the computer with a rubber mallet, ready to pound it into submission as needed. Scott Dick joins us this hour. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps and retired from the Army at the rank of Major. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Things are going pretty smoothly here. First up, I wanted to talk with you about the bill that was voted out of the House pretty much on party line yesterday, and this provides only $50 billion of the roughly $200 billion that President Bush has demanded for the continuing operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this is a tactic that came out of Chairman David Obey in the Appropriations Committee. He said he's not willing to authorize everything that Bush has asked for. So this is an end to the blank checks. And like the attempt in May of this year, Scott, this bill requires that troop withdrawal start within 30 days and that the mission be redefined, that torture rules be reinforced, the Army Field Manual must be followed, particularly on waterboarding. And it also includes the troop rest requirement that basically says that they can't serve longer in the battle zone than they do on their break coming home. So this is an interesting package, and we learned today that on the Senate side, the Senate Democrats are sending a message that they're going to support this House version at only $50 billion with the restrictions attached, and they are daring the Republicans to filibuster it. How do you see this shaping up as a battle, and how do you think it'll be viewed by the troops in the field and the folks at the Pentagon?
Well, the $50 billion is it's pocket change, Peter. They just passed the defense budget. It's $460 billion. I don't think the wonderful Department of Defense is going to suddenly start closing up its doors anytime soon.
No.
And they're just using the fully fund the troops with no limits as a smokescreen. So our troops are not going to be affected, as far as I can tell, for about the next 6 months. And who is this Obey guy anyway? He's not in any leadership position. Why is this coming from him and not from our House and Senate leadership?
Well, he's the chair of the Appropriations Committee. That's a pretty powerful post, but you're right. It's not Pelosi or her number two, Steny Hoyer.
Yeah, so, you know, are they using a surrogate? So if the whole world comes down on this guy, that they won't get hurt? I think it's I don't know if they were at the podium with him when he made the announcement, but they should have been. This is ridiculous. He's like third string as far as, I mean, not third string, but, you know, third tier leadership making this really this challenge.
Well, I think that, you know, I understand your point, but I think that Pelosi has a very difficult tight wire or high wire to straddle. And that is that she knows that it's very hard to bring along the entire Democratic caucus. I think there were 10 or 12 who voted against this measure yesterday, most of them to the right. The lefties, Barbara Lee and Sam Farr and Lynn Woolsey, held their noses and voted for this $50 billion because it is, well, first of all, the name of it is the Orderly and Responsible Iraq Deployment Appropriations Act. And so based on the name and based on the fact that it does call for the troops to come home entirely by the month of December next year in 2008, the progressives, the Out of Iraq caucus, for the most part, did vote for the bill. But it's some of the blue dogs who held out, and they're concerned that this is, you know, too liberal.
Well, you see, this is where I don't get it. The president, he could sign it, make everybody happy, and then do a signing statement that says he's going to ignore it like he has so many other bills before. So I don't know what the big deal is. It's all about egos, as far as I can tell, Peter. And, you know, we cannot underplay this troop rest issue. When we talk about troops that are third, fourth, five, I just saw a report in Army Times last week. There's a reservist getting ready for his sixth deployment.
Wow, sixth?
Sixth deployment in 6 years.
And he was a reservist?
He's a reservist.
Ow!
So when we talk about troop rest, we talk about the epidemic of suicide in the active duty military. This is what the Army itself is calling it. And this is a direct result of multiple tours in very stressful combat deployments. And it's a crime. It really is a crime against our veterans, our combat veterans, that we're forcing these guys to go in a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time when, by the Army's own admission, one-third of the active duty Army has not been to Iraq or Afghanistan. Maybe even... Yeah, one-third. It's a very large percentage, and a lot
really?
Of people are starting to get really upset about it.
Now, why is that? Are these all desk jockeys?
No. And units that have not been – there's always mechanics and cooks and maintenance people and desk jockeys, be that the personnel guys and the finance guys mm-hmm. and infantry guys that are stuck on bases around the United States or worldwide deployments that just haven't been caught up in the deployment pipeline, and it's big enough. I'll give you an example. When I went to a captain's course, in the early 90s, very early 90s. One of our small group leader was Lieutenant Colonel, and it was a room of probably, I don't know, 35 or 40 people. He said, how many people have never eaten an MRE? All the hands in the room went up except for about six of us.
Hmm.
So those are people who knew nothing about the Brown Boot Army. And I met a blood expert, and she'd never been outside of an Army hospital, for example.
Yeah.
So there are people that have not deployed. The numbers look huge. And you have these combat soldiers who are going back two, three, four, five, in this case, this kid's six times. And troop rest cannot be understated. And if it takes an act of Congress to make the Department of Defense do the right thing in this administration, well, so be it. They can kiss my you-know-what.
Well, I certainly agree with you on the principle, and I think that this is an interesting policy way of forcing the president's hand and forcing him to draw down the level of troops in Iraq by saying that we've got to give him appropriate rest and time to re-equip, retrain, and those sorts of things. So it is in some ways a point of subterfuge that the Democrats are using because they don't have the votes to outright tell the president, we are cutting off the funds and you must bring the troops home immediately.
Well, what the nice thing about this is, Peter, is it exposes the Bush administration for what it is. They're very disingenuous when they play the we support the troops card and claim that all this money is going for the benefit of the soldiers. I know it's a lie, you know it's a lie, but some people out there do not recognize it as an out-and-out lie. The money is going to a lot of other places. And as it was in Bosnia, we are giving direct dollar amounts to the Iraqi government in many different forms, including cash payments. If anybody noticed the paper, we just signed $35 million worth of, and I put these in quotation marks, reconstruction deals with the Sunni tribal leaders down, I think it was in Anbar province. Well, they might as well just give them, cut them a check and have it direct deposited in their Swiss bank account. These are not unsophisticated people. These
right.
are people who had big screen TVs before we ever. Peter, I love this picture of the Al-Sistani in his office in, I think it's in Baghdad or in that area.
No, he's in one of the religious cities.
Okay, he's in Najaf, maybe.
Yeah, Najaf. I think that's where he is. Uh-huh.
And what nobody paid any attention to was the 36-inch plasma flat-screen TV on the credenza next to him. Everybody thinks these people are don't watch TV, don't have satellite, don't have the internet, and so we're signing, and we say sheikhs, Sunni sheikhs, we're thinking, you know, camel riders.
Yeah, right.
No, these are Mercedes-Benz drivers.
Yeah, they got Land Rovers and Land Cruisers.
Right, so with those we just signed $35 million worth of reconstruction deals with them, and it's going to work. And
well, those are obviously the payments that grease the situation in Al-Anbar, and we've seen this with the sheikh who was murdered just a few days after he was highlighted in the Petraeus report as the guy who's helping us clear out Al-Qaeda in Anbar province.
Nothing like painting a big red bullseye on the guy.
Well, and this, what I want to get into in the next segment with you, Scott, is that, and I like to phrase this very carefully, I am pleased that the statistics indicate that fewer Americans have died progressively over each of the last 3 months. I'm highly suspect of the statistics, and also I'm suspicious of the conditions that have produced this. So I want to talk with you about that, because some of it is that we are paying off warlords and sheikhs, and so temporarily they're under our control or at least under our influence, but I don't think that the current lull that is being reported in the Western media is significant, and you know, I also don't believe that it represents the results of Bush's so-called surge.
Peter, Simon Clemens said, there are lies, damn lies, and then there are statistics.
Yep. My daddy used to say what? Liars can figure, but figures don't lie. We'll take up with that in a moment with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's here this entire hour, so if you want to join us with a comment on the war in Iraq, the occupation, the $50 billion measure, or anything else related to veterans and the military, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372.
Our radio show for the whole family. dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
And a very hearty, hearty Thursday to you, if that makes sense. Let's take a look at the very latest and get you caught up to date. All right, Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 for the Alma Bridge. We have a two-vehicle crash clear to the right shoulder. Emergency crews are on scene. Apparently some sort of, again, injury crash there, and it's causing delays in the area, I might add. Monterey County, we have an injury crash on Highway 68 at Laguna Seca. Two vehicles on the shoulder, paramedics, fire department on scene. Watsonville, Amstey Road, westbound at Green Valley, an injury crash there. Two cars blocking lanes. Again, fire department and paramedics on scene. CHP and tow trucks also there as well. Carmel Valley, West Carmel Valley Road at Laurel's Grade. We have an injury crash. A vehicle went off the embankment there and down a hill. That's a look at traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest this hour, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. You can join the conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Take it all out on your stride. It is taking falling down. Love forever, love is free. Let's talk forever, you and me. Windmill, windmill for the land.
And joining Scott Dick and me right now from Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City, it's Jeff. Welcome, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Jeff, haven't you been trained? You do not need to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call. He is delighted to hear from you.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do in this particular case because I got in an argument with a coworker, and it was about the possibility of what would happen if a Republican president won in the next election. And I was trying to make the point that, hey, look, we'll probably attack Iran next, and this thing won't end. And he turned around and said, well, yeah, but they'll get nuclear weapons if we don't. And I said, well, what about all the other countries that have nuclear weapons now we're not worried about? And then he turned around and said, yeah, but they're allies. And then he kind of, I didn't know what to say, and I'm like, okay.
Who are allies?
Supposedly all these other countries that currently have nuclear weapons.
Okay. Now, Jeff, let me weigh in here, and then we'll get a comment from Scott.
Okay.
First up, your friend is a victim of the false choices presented by Bush and Cheney. All right? They look at this picture. They hype the threat posed by Iran. And I don't dismiss Iran. It is a player who has aspirations to be a regional superpower. And, yes, I believe long-term they want to acquire a nuclear weapon like so many other countries, including Israel. And so, you know, there is a long-term threat, but the Republicans hype it as a near-term threat the very same way they did Saddam. And tell your friend to log on to the McClatchy newspaper's website. Sacramento Bee is a good place where you can jump in there. And look for a recent report from McClatchy. I think I have a copy of it right here. And it flatly states that there is no present threat. It's Jonathan Landay is the reporter. No present threat from Iran. They do not possess a nuclear weapon, and they don't currently have the capability to get one. So, back to false choices. The Bush administration wants us to believe, and 52% of Americans in a recent poll appear to believe, that we need to launch a military assault on Iran if it develops a nuclear weapon. And recently, Bush has changed the language, saying that we need to attack them if they develop the knowledge to produce a nuclear weapon. Now, plenty of people already have the knowledge. They simply don't have the centrifuges and the raw materials, the wherewithal to actually produce a weapon. So tell your friend not to be so simple-minded. There are other options available, including diplomacy and other ways that we could try to entice Iran into changing its posture. But we're not doing that. We're closing the gauntlet and saying that there are only two choices here. Scott, your turn.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call China our ally. I mean, we're business partners, but you can listen to the criticism of China in our own Congress, and they have nuclear weapons. We could go around the world and look at all those people who are temporary. We're working together, but who knows? Pakistan is a very good example of a pseudo-ally or an ally that could turn on us very quickly. It depends on how we conduct ourselves.
Yeah.
And the fact that we must conduct ourselves in a manner as not to antagonize other countries is something that American foreign policy has always taken in consideration up until this administration. It's, Iran, you know what's the most ironic thing about this is that we encouraged Iran to develop a peaceful nuclear weapon, nuclear energy
Thank
program.
You.
And so that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, Jeff, the point that Scott's making is very important. In the 1970s, we actively helped the Shah's government try to develop nuclear power plants in Iran. And now we say, oh, why would Iran want a nuclear power plant? They've got plenty of oil.
But they can't. They have terrible problems with dealing with their industry, just like in Iraq. And they have distribution problems. There was a whole series of demonstrations in Iran about the price of gasoline going up. I mean, people in Iran are not really happy with the domestics that's going on in the country. But, people are looking at the president of Iran as somehow reflecting the general population, and he's not. He
right.
doesn't reflect it, and he doesn't have the power, and that's what they're trying to point to and saying, this guy's a danger and he's a threat, and look
yeah.
at this. And, you know, it's a bunch of crap that Americans believe because we're ignorant. We're not only ignorant about Middle Eastern history, we're ignorant about our own history and what we've done. So
thank you, Scott. And, Jeff, tell your friend to call in, and we'll help work him over, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you for the call. We'll continue in a moment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Fly me home. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Thanksgiving's a week away. Millions of us are flying off to see family, so it was reassuring to hear the news from Washington that the president has a plan to fix airport congestion.
The administration will announce traffic control improvements aimed at the Thanksgiving and overall holiday period.
Which means your plane might actually take off on time. Except, it could take off with a bomb.
A GAO report to be officially unveiled later today on Capitol Hill suggests terrorists could smuggle a bomb on board a U.S. jetliner.
Thanks so much for the heads up. Now tell me we know what to do.
We're talking about disassembling a bomb into small component parts and then individually sneaking those items through security and assembling on the other side. This is an insidious problem.
Okay, I guess we don't know what to do. But surely the parts are difficult to get.
The investigators weren't sneaking high-tech and expensive explosives past screeners, but rather parts to a homemade bomb that could be found on the Internet.
Right. And then, since this wasn't quite enough to scare the hell out of us, GAO investigators, after sneaking bomb ingredients past security, then reassembled them, blew up a car, and released the tape.
Fire the hole!
What are you trying to do to us? Don't you understand most of us who fly are barely holding it together as it is? Heck, we still worry about what that flotation device under the seat might be for. That's why we pick up the SkyMall magazine during the safety lecture and pretend to be interested in the talking travel alarm. Give us a break, will you? Thank God they still serve booze. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove's Joe Romby has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Romby's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Mauro's. You'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joeromby.com or call 831-373-2416, or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Whoa.
Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Minutes after the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Thanks for listening. We've got lines open if you'd like to join me and Scott Dick this hour. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. next up on the telephone thingy, it's Steve from Salinas. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm not singing.
Good.
Good. You got that right. anyway, I've had this terrible thought when I heard about this funding thing, and
yeah.
I hope I'm just totally out to lunch. Is it conceivable that if, you know, the Congress doesn't allot any more money, that Bush would just leave the troops over there without any resources?
Well, first of all, we have to make it very clear that this $50 billion, if it's not appropriated, will eventually get approved by the Congress. The Democratic leadership has made it clear that they don't have the stomach to cut off the funding entirely, which is something I'd like to see, frankly. But as Scott pointed out, the president this week, after vetoing a health and education funding bill that he said had too much pork in it, and I think he identified $10 or $20 billion that offended him, he immediately signed the next year's defense appropriation bill, which is $460+ billion. So there's plenty of cash flowing into the Pentagon, and they can rearrange their spending to continue the occupation of Iraq for a good period of time, some people suggest at least 6 months, even if the $50 billion that cleared the House yesterday never gets approved or he vetoes it, whatever may happen. Scott, your comment?
Yeah, we're looking at 6 months at least in the pipeline for cash, and he could leave the troops over there. There's a bill on the books from the late 1800s that allows the Pentagon to spend money. It's called the Forage, I forgot what Peter exactly what it's
forage
called.
Forage and what? Yeah, you've told me about this. But what's left to forage for in Iraq?
Well, yeah, but if it allows, it's against the law for the government to contract to spend money that's not appropriated. So this is a way around that. They just can't pay any contractors. So, you know, they could save a lot of money and get the troops out of there. They're still going to be protected. They're still going to have ammunition. They'll still have their body armor. And it's just a matter of, you know, if we're looking at troops that are patrolling, we're paying for fuel, we're paying for spare parts, we're paying for that kind of thing. So, you know, we're not going to leave the troops without the means to defend themselves. They're not going to be without food and water.
Well, you know, and if Bush runs into trouble, I'm sure that he can sign for a personal loan from his good friend Eric Prince at Blackwater, the guys at Halliburton, Dick Blum, Dianne Feinstein's husband, has made huge profits on the war in Iraq. And, you know, if they just pass the hat among the have-mores, who now have even more
right.
because of this spending.
Now, also, Peter, there's this contracting fraud that's going on. Maybe they could dig into the $9 billion that's lost. And remember, I first covered this story early in the war that some, you know, when they spent $16,000 in the green zone for monogrammed towels with MWR's monogram on it for the swimming pool at one of Saddam Hussein's palaces, those are the kind of things that can go. The green zone is you know, air-conditioned swimming pools. I'm not overplaying this either, folks. The troops that are not in the green zone are the ones that are living in the 110-degree temperatures and eating MREs. The green zone is where all the, you know, the contractors live, where all the State Department people live. They have swimming pools. They have ice cream. They have Domino's pizza. You know, they have Starbucks. And it's all tax-free.
Yeah. All right, Steve, thanks for a good question. Scott, next thing I wanted to bring up is, I mentioned this earlier, but for those who just tuned in, I'm going to say this again very carefully. I take no pleasure in seeing the carnage in Iraq, and I take no pleasure in the large number of American casualties that we've seen over the past year, the bloodiest year since we entered Iraq. And I am guardedly optimistic when I see the statistics that show that U.S. casualties, particularly fatalities, have declined fairly steeply over the last 3 months. We were averaging 100 a month in the summer, and it has declined to, what, about 39 or 40 in the month of October. Now, that said, the total body count in Iraq and Afghanistan is 3,851 as of today. And as I pointed out, I believe the Bush administration is taking this short-term information, this recent data, and trying to say, look, the surge is working. I heard a Republican on television last night pushing back against the Democrats putting restrictions on the bill, ridiculing them, saying that, you know, they want to lose this war by pulling out just at a time when conditions are starting to change in our favor.
That was Boehner, and he said, why are we going to pull our troops out just when they're beginning to win?
Yeah.
And so it's... Go ahead, Peter, sorry.
Well, what I wanted to ask you about is just how skeptical you are, because European news agencies have reported very different figures on Iraqi casualties. And, of course, we only report Iraqi casualties for the purpose of leading people to believe that they are declining. We ignored Iraqi casualties for years. Rumsfeld wouldn't even count them. And now they use those statistics when they're favorable. But we've seen a real disconnect between what we're getting in the United States in terms of civilian deaths in Iraq and what's being reported in Europe. It's about a 25% differential.
Well, because we can, Peter, we could argue about civilian casualties all day long about how they're counted, whether the bullet came from the front or the bullet came from the back, and
whether a car bomb counts or an IED, yeah.
The clever accounting, and we know the Department of Defense, the State Department, use body counts to show when they're making successes, and then downplay, civilian body counts as being ethno-sectarian, intranecine violence or something, Petraeus said. You know, it's all basically nonsense. People are still dying. There's a big criminal faction there, which they separate from civil war and insurgency, but I don't know how, because the criminals are a product of not a strong central or local or regional governments. So it's a part of this conflict. You just can't discount criminal behavior. But the troops, it's a change in tactics, and a change in the deployment of the new MRAPs, because most of those casualties, a far number of those, are for IEDs. And why finally in 07? See, this just points out the incompetence of the Bush administration from 03 till now. This is nothing the Republicans should be celebrating. Maybe, just maybe, Peter, they've handed more of this conflict over to the guys fighting it versus running it from Washington, from Dumsfeld and Wolfowitz and those other idiots that were running it before. So all I can say is that I'm very happy the numbers have gone down. And, really, it doesn't really matter. In the end product, it doesn't matter.
Well, only to the extent to which it permits Republicans to say that the surge is working, the occupation is working, and we just need to do more of the same and everything's going to turn out okay. I don't buy that.
Well, I think we should all get in a chorus of 10,000 or 10 million Americans that say the surge has worked, that it's everything you set out to do in Iraq has been done, mission accomplished, bring the troops home. There's no reason to leave them there. Why do you need troops if there's no IEDs going off and there's no conflict? Why do you need troops there? Bring them home now. So declare victory and come home.
That is one of the fork-tongue comments that, in some ways, is coming out of the Pentagon right now, where they announced, and I heard a CNN radio report that almost made me swerve off the road, because with a straight face, the announcer said that because of the recent success, a battalion is coming home. That battalion has to come home. And they're pretending that this was something elective on the part of Gates or General Petraeus. And that battalion has been scheduled to come home for many months now, and they're trying to tie that to this recent decline in statistics. And that's why I brought this up, because, again, I want to see zero American deaths. And I would be delighted if we actually achieved some form of success there. I just don't think that it's actually going to happen. And so I don't want to participate in a fiction that even if it would result in returning our troops or at least getting them out of Iraq, because I believe that we can get double-crossed by the Bush administration, and I also believe we can get double-crossed by a guy named Muqtada al-Sadr.
Yeah, they're just building up their own forces. And I just have to say, the CNN reporter that did the cause and effect, that's just crummy journalism. And I think probably what that is he got sold a bill of goods, like so many of our Congress people have, by a military who's very adept at playing with words and numbers and really baffling them with BS, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, I was told, Peter, by Rick Atkinson that I would never be accepted as a journalist because they would consider me, the media in general, would consider me to be co-opted by the military. But this ignorance of this reporter on military affairs is, I think, worse.
Oh, it is. I certainly agree with that. Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott, next I wanted to ask you about this. New York Times has a story here on Thursday about Congresswoman Ellen Tauscher. She is a blue dog conservative Democrat from the East Bay, east of San Francisco. And she was initially in favor of the war. She voted for it, and she bought into the administration lines. She has since moved away from that. And so she has a mixed record on the war and on various issues related to it. So she went public this week complaining about how when she took a trip to Iraq this summer, she got a copy of the handout that was given to the various officials she was meeting with that summarized her record. And I'm reading here from the Times. The selection of information in the handout highlighted her critical remarks about the administration's war strategy, which she had called a failure, but did not mention her sponsorship of legislation requiring more time at home for combat troops or her support of financing for armored vehicles and upgraded flak jackets. An angry Congresswoman Tauscher characterized the document as an attempt to frame my stance as someone opposed to the war, hence opposed to the troops. And she said it left her feeling slimed. That's a Ghostbusters term. I wanted to get your insight here on how these junkets work when members of Congress come into a deployment zone. It happened with you in Bosnia. And what kind of shenanigans go on as the brass prepares and attempts to either sweet talk or propagandize these elected officials?
Well, I'm amazed that, first of all, this story broke this summer. I remember, I think we actually may have mentioned it briefly, Peter, in one of our segments together.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's waiting now, the Times is covering it now, is just the reason I brought this to people's attention is because people in her entourage noticed these soldiers clutching these blue handouts and wanted to know what it was that they were looking at. And when they took it, it was all of the people in the delegation, and they're basically a bio on them. Now, my question is, why do soldiers and non-commissioned officers and young officers need that information? The answer is they don't. And so already these are congressional delegations are completely scripted. We're notified in advance. When in Bosnia, we had a VIP section that handled these visits. They were notified well in advance, week, 2 weeks, because they had to make accommodations for these people. They had to make sure the meal count was straight. So they knew they were coming. Nobody just sprung these. There are no surprise visits. So to do this kind of research and then give it to the troops, I don't understand. That it seems very wrong to me. And then congressional visits are totally a Potemkin village, and I'll give you a good example. When William Perry came to Bad Kreuznach, where the 1st Armored Division was home-based, after we returned from Bosnia, we literally walked the route with the community commander that he would take from the helicopter landing pad to the recreation center where he was going to give our general his medal. That was our general. Nash mm-hmm. gave himself a medal, and he wanted to make sure Perry gave it to him, so they acquiesced, and he came. Then they mowed all the yards, they painted all the curbs, they painted individual walls that you could only see from the walk, not the whole building, just the walls, and they renovated a badly, badly decomposed recreation center. Because when troops used it, they didn't care if the carpet was stained and dirty, they didn't care if there were no books in there, they didn't care if the kitchen facilities were completely unusable or the toilets leaked or anything else. But the fact that he was going to stand in there for 40 minutes and give Nash a medal caused like a $100,000 renovation.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, every person that's going to interface with these people are personally hand-selected by the company commander. They ask for recommendations. Hey, who are we going to have in the mess hall with them going to eat lunch? They don't let people who are rowdy or, you know, have a lot of ugly tattoos or anything else anywhere within 100 miles of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely skipped. The information is cherry-picked. They do presentations solely for the consumption of the visitors. And then when they do briefings, a battle update briefing, they tailor the information to suit. In other words, no bad news. That's all handled offline. So
all
it's complete phony.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Some callers lined up next. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Go to peterbcollins.com and check out our zippy new and improved podcasts.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know, it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the very latest. Get you folks caught up to date, because that's what we do here, obviously. Well, let's take a look at Carmel Valley. West Carmel Valley Road at Laurel Grade, injury crash. A vehicle went off the roadway and down an embankment. We do have fire department paramedic crews on scene there. Looking at Monterey County, an injury crash still being reported. Highway 68 at Laguna Seca, two vehicles on the right shoulder. Morgan Hill, Santa Teresa Boulevard, southbound before Kalana, an injury crash. This is a big rig on a bicyclist. Major injuries reported here, and we do have emergency crews, paramedics on scene, as you might imagine. In Gilroy, on eastbound 152 after Lover's Lane, an accident, right shoulder. Two cars involved in this one. Traffic is heavy approaching the scene. SoCal Crystal Heights at SoCal Drive. We have a vehicle that rolled out of the driveway, went down a cliff, and ended up on the deck of a house below.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Scott Dick, retired Army major, who's our contributor on military and veterans issues. And we're joined now by Don in Wilton. Don, thanks for calling the PBC show.
Thanks for being a show I can call.
Okay.
Hey, I got a kind of a two-part thing going on here. I've had recent discussions with a retired lieutenant colonel, and it's kind of interesting because I have a very different point of view than he does. And I'm trying to find out the idea of swearing to protect and defend the Constitution would kind of make you think that people knew what it said. And maybe for Scott, my question would be, is it required reading when people sign up? Or as they rise through the ranks?
All right, that's a good question. Anywhere along the way, hold on, Don, we'll get to your other question, but Scott, okay. Are military service members required to actually read the Constitution before they swear an oath to it?
No, and it's interesting because in all of the time I spent in the military, Marine Corps enlisted, Army enlisted, and as a commissioned officer, no, there are parts of the Constitution that we've referred to over and over again, illegal search and seizure, the Fifth Amendment, that kind of thing, but we spend a lot of time with the law of land warfare, for example, and that implication more than we do with the Constitution. Freedom of speech
Those are all things. But, you know, in the military, we abide by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's a completely different criminal, you know, it's a different legal system.
Right.
So it's even stranger for a young troop to say, by the way, you defend the Constitution, but it doesn't really, in many, many cases, apply to you.
All right. Don, part two?
Okay. Well, part two is because getting past the new recruits, like I said, now we get into the legal minds who are in the higher ranks, the very high ranks. And this would also be a good one for the politicians, by the way, who are supposedly defending it. But I was also wondering, the one thing that that always came back when I had these conversations was, I had the impeach Bush bumper sticker on the car. Well, he's my commander in chief, so I know the chain of command is a huge thing. So when is it the chain of command? Does it always trump the Constitution?
No, it in
they
fact
don't know what the Constitution actually says.
Okay, it never.
Man, that much more important.
It never trumps the Constitution. And the fact that this lieutenant colonel has obviously forgotten the admonition, the requirement to disobey an illegal order is obvious. Just because I've been told to my face when senior officers were planning things that were obviously illegal that, well, he's a general. He can do whatever he wants. And I had to correct him and say, no, he can't. He's constrained by, number one, the law of land warfare. They don't want to hear that. They think because they slap stars on a guy or birds or silver oak leaves or they make him the president of the United States that they're suddenly above the law, and they're not. And the Constitution and our oath requires that if that lieutenant colonel issues an illegal order, it must be disobeyed.
And even the Bush-packed Supreme Court has acknowledged that the fact that Bush says we're at war is not a blank check and does not give him unbridled presidential authority. Thanks for the question, Don. Now to Susan in Soquel. Welcome, Susan. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter, and hi, Scott.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you, Scott, for your dedication. I really love it when you come on. My question is this. I mean, every time I hear this thing about there being less killing going on there, we've lost less troops, the thought always pops into my head, well, yeah, there's less people there to fight. So does that count, or is that just in my head?
So you mean because 4 million people have been displaced, half of those
have
left the country?
That's right, exactly. So many have been killed and so many displaced that, you know, the folks who maybe could fight and had fight, you know, in them, haven't anymore.
Well, a lot of the neighborhoods have been ethnically cleansed, so
yeah.
That's one explanation, too. Scott?
What does Scott say?
Well, here's the thing. This is interesting. You know what they used to say about Nazi Germany is that the only people that were left are the people who couldn't or wouldn't or weren't smart enough to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So the people, you know, nobody talks about what must be the tremendous brain drain from Iraq. Those 4 million refugees, they're not all just grocery store clerks.
Right.
So the bankers and the lawyers and the college professors and the doctors and the neuroscientists and the computer technicians and the
gone.
So what's left is you have these ethnically cleansed neighborhoods being controlled by either the Iraqi equivalent of criminal organizations, like the mafia, or by religious sects. And so who's left to fight?
That's exactly what I thought.
You're right. You nailed it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Now to Sherman in Blue Lake. Just a minute here, Sherman. Go ahead.
Well, the quick point that I know you've probably discussed earlier in other hours, just the fact that the surge has changed its goal from putting in place the government and now it's just plain body count, that's just plain wrong. They've changed the measure and they've gotten nowhere against the measure they claimed was the measure to be got against.
You're right on. Even today, there is another report that despite the alleged reduction in violence, that the Iraqi government has not moved toward reconciliation and has not moved to unify and really move forward to, you know, control the army and the police and secure their nation. Scott?
Well, and you know, I heard McCain call this a change in strategy. It's not a change in strategy.
Exactly.
It's accounting. Now we've gone from 130 to 160. It's an accounting change. It has nothing to do with strategy.
Right, and they've forgotten their strategy.
There never was a strategy.
Okay. Can I mention also, whatever happened to the war czar?
Oh, Peter, remember I predicted he would fade to obscurity?
It's happened already. What's his name, Loot?
Who knows?
Luton?
Right. I think he was mentioned and then he was forgotten the next day.
Guys, I got to go. Thanks for joining me, Sherman.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, Peter.
Talk to you again.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The cloud that's been hanging over Barry Bonds burst today when baseball's home run king was indicted by a federal grand jury in San Francisco. CBS News investigative correspondent Arvin Katayan has been following this story.
Bonds has steadfastly denied using any performance-enhancing drugs. But according to the indictment, evidence was obtained including positive tests for the presence of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances for Bonds and other athletes.
Any credibility that was left for Barry Bonds in terms of whether or not he was taking steroids as he broke the biggest record in baseball history would shrivel.
Bonds faces four counts of perjury and one count of obstruction of justice. If convicted, he could be sentenced to between 20 and 30 years in prison.
John Burris is Bonds' lawyer.
It would be a vigorous defense. I think that we are in a very good position to represent him in such a way that he should be found not guilty of these charges.
This summer, Bonds surpassed Hank Aaron's career home run record and went on to end the season with 762 homers to his credit. But the San Francisco Giants told him his services are no longer required. He's a free agent. Tomorrow starts the Thanksgiving travel crunch, and to help airlines stay on schedule, President Bush is opening up airspace along the East Coast that's normally reserved for the military. He also promises long-term upgrades.
We can do better. We can have an aviation system that is improved. And that's what we're talking about.
Jim Higgins, a former commercial pilot who now teaches at the University of North Dakota, agrees that opening the military air corridors is just a Band-Aid.
This is certainly what I would call low-lying fruit in that it's easy enough for the government to do on a short-term basis, you know, over Thanksgiving and Christmas to free things up. However, it's certainly not going to solve anything long-term.
He says the system needs major changes to handle the growing volume of air traffic. On the ground, AAA estimates that nearly 39 million Americans will take a Thanksgiving road trip despite gasoline prices at near record highs. The House has voted to tighten restrictions on mortgage lenders. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It was the proliferation of what former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan called exotic loans that set the stage for this mortgage crisis. Loans with teaser rates that shot up, made without proof of income. Buyers steered to more expensive and riskier loans on the assumption they could refinance later as long as house prices only went up. The bill would require not just banks, but all mortgage lenders to be licensed, follow rules, and have minimum standards for loans.
If you're in the market, Freddie Mac says mortgage rates held steady this week. The national average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan is 6.24%. The stock market had another bad day. The Dow Industrial's down 120 points to 13,110. The NASDAQ 25 points lower at 26.18. And the price of oil fell 66 cents to $93.43 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
My name's Bear Grylls. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was get out in the dirt, knock around a bit, do anything dangerous, just have fun. Now, it's what I do for a living. I'm headed to Panama, Patagonia, and the Sahara Desert. Don't know what I'll find there, but I'm up for the challenge. People used to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Grow up? Why would I want to do that?
Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. New episode tomorrow at 9 Eastern and Pacific on the Discovery Channel.
What would Santa Claus be without his ho-ho-hos? Kids in Australia will soon find out. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
He'll be flying 39 nights from now.
Santa's on his way.
Well, it's never too early to be politically correct, at least down under.
Santa Claus is coming.
Australian guys who want to play St. Nick in Sydney are being told not to say ho-ho-ho. Seems like officials believe that's too close to a term for a lady of the night, and such a greeting would offend women. One children's advocacy group says, come on, little kids don't understand that connotation. PC critics say, let Santa be Santa. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Actress Lindsay Lohan, sentenced to a day in jail for drunk driving, got out of the Los Angeles County Women's Detention Center after serving just 84 minutes behind bars. Officials say she got no special treatment because of overcrowding. Women are routinely released early. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
My name's Bear Grylls. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was get out in the dirt, knock around a bit, do anything dangerous, just have fun. Now, it's what I do for a living. I'm headed to Panama, Patagonia, and the Sahara Desert. Don't know what I'll find there, but I'm up for the challenge. People used to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Grow up? Why would I want to do that?
Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. New episode tomorrow at 9 Eastern and Pacific on the Discovery Channel.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What is the Truman Cell? It's the best defense against bad household air on the market today, and only Orrick has it. Can it make a difference in the quality of your life? See for yourself. Try an Orrick professional air purifier risk-free for 60 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get one to you faster than you can say Gesundheit. 1-800-989-4200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. Calls and comments welcome any topic, any viewpoint from anywhere in the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B.
Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in.
Or watching them hit the bridge.
Then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay. Watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay. Wasting time.
Sun's just gone down on another beautiful Indian summer day around San Francisco Bay, or the oil slick that passes for San Francisco Bay. I was down at the harbor today, and there are all these little white cloth booms that float on the surface of the water that are super absorbent, designed to pick up whatever they can from the remains of the oil spill last week.
Watching the tide roll.
And if you happen to be listening earlier this week, Larry Collins was on the program with us, the president of the Crab Boat Owners Association on San Francisco Bay. And he had called for suspension of the crab season until we can really get a handle on the scope of the spill and whether crabbing would produce tainted crab. And I think that's a very substantial issue and not something that, you know, I take lightly. But what Governor Schwarzenegger did was simply ban crabbing and fishing in the area roughly from Bodega Bay to Half Moon Bay. And what that means is that crabbers from Oregon, crabbers from Central Coast, crabbers from almost anywhere can operate off the coast of San Francisco Bay as long as they're at least 3 miles out. Well, that's where most of the crab is anyway. And so I think this is kind of sad because I was hoping that these crabbers from San Francisco would be able to prevail on the governor to suspend the entire season or the entire crabbing operations along the California coast until the coast is clear here around San Francisco. But it appears that some of the, and you know, if you're in Half Moon Bay or Monterey, you might say, well, we're relieved. We didn't have a spill. And so, you know, we want to make our living and we want to provide crab for people like me who really love it. So if you happen to be working in the seafaring industry as a crabber or a merchant marine, and you want to comment on that, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. Also, nobody took me up on it, but earlier today when we were talking with Matt Renner and the amazing story of the Krongard brothers, Cookie and Buzzy, I offered to share with you my family nicknames. I have four brothers, and they were very liberal with the nicknames. Some of my brothers aren't that liberal, but they were liberal with the nicknames. And so if anybody asks, I'll answer the question. Enough said about that. I also want to ask you to comment on this. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer has thrown in the towel. He said 70% of New Yorkers oppose it, and he's not going to try to paddle upstream, whatever mangled metaphor you prefer. The issue, of course, is driver's license for undocumented, or as some people prefer, illegal residents of New York in that case. And this may come up in the Democratic debate that's underway in Nevada right now, because Hillary Clinton appeared to take two positions on this in the Philadelphia debate about 2 weeks ago. Now, at the same time, in San Francisco, we are getting ready to pass out identification cards to anyone who lives in the city, regardless of their immigration status. And what that means is anybody can get an ID card that says, I am a resident of San Francisco. And I believe it's going to be a photo ID. It is not a driver's license, but it is an identification card issued by the city and county of San Francisco. It's a combined entity. And I support it. I also support driver's licenses for undocumented residents of California. And I'm disappointed and disgusted that Arnold Schwarzenegger has fought so bitterly against that as an immigrant himself. And I wonder, Arnold, when you first got here, before you got your green card, did you drive without a license? I can only imagine he did. I have no proof of that, but I can only imagine that that was the case. And I flatly believe that progressives and Democrats, including progressives, should champion this issue. It's a matter of public safety, and it is a matter of being fair to those who are here, regardless of their status. The public safety issue is there are more than a million people on the roads of California who don't have a driver's license and therefore don't have insurance. And who knows if their vehicles are even properly registered? Have you ever had an accident with somebody who can't get a driver's license because of their immigration status? I have. And it leaves you in limbo. You have no idea who this person is. They write their name and phone number down, but you don't have a way of establishing who they are. Often the vehicle is registered to somebody else. And it's clear to me that we're not going to have comprehensive immigration in this country anytime soon. Not going to happen next year in an election year. And I see the Democrats looking at the polls and saying, who wants to be the fool who goes against the grain, who goes against 70% of the public and says, oh, yeah, I want to give driver's licenses to illegal aliens? Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this because I appear to be in the minority. And I think that it's a very practical matter that we will all be better off if we know who is here, if we know where they live, and if we know that they have at least passed the driving test at the DMV. I think these are fundamental issues, and I am amazed to see the way this country is sweeping to the right. And I know many people who are liberal on a whole host of issues, and very reactionary when it comes to immigration and when it comes to this hot-button issue of driver's licenses. I'm amazed to see Chris Matthews on television really sounding like Lou Dobbs or even Tom Tancredo. Not that Chris is that liberal on everything, but, hey, he's not Bill O'Reilly. And speaking of Chris Matthews, did you get a chance to see Hardball on Wednesday evening? I turned on my TiVo and flipped it on, and I was expecting, you know, the usual stuff from Chris and his guests. And poor Matthews had to devote the first half of his show to live coverage of O.J.'s arraignment in Las Vegas. And if you got to see this, it's almost priceless, because Judge Joe Bonaventure, I predict, will be the next Judge Judy, the next... I forget those people. They're all so interchangeable. But I predict that Hollywood will come calling and hire Judge Joe Bonaventure to host one of these TV court shows. And he'll be the first mullet judge on television. It was so neat to see this guy. He had a huge ponytail hanging down over the back of his judicial robes, had a pretty full but trim beard, and the full mullet, with close-cropped sides, and then the pullback over the top with the huge ponytail in the back. I just thought it was very Vegas. And, of course, this is a silly thing to break in for live coverage of, because it was a foregone conclusion that the judge would uphold the charges and refer them to trial, because that's the way it works. So if you care to comment on that, feel free to give me a call. I've got lines open for you here in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's my toll-free number. Jonathan in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing, Beth?
I'm okay. What's on your mind?
Is there an actual date for full troop withdrawals from Iraq and Afghanistan?
Of course not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. When you were talking to the guy from Truth or something like that.
Truth Out.
Truth Out. I thought I heard something like that from you.
Well, what it is this new bill, which passed the House yesterday narrowly along party lines, is called the Orderly and Responsible Iraq Redeployment Appropriations Act. And in it, the Democrats have put in timelines, but they're not binding on the president. They are a suggestion. And this is a result of a compromise inside the Democratic caucus, because they cannot all get on the same page, and it's very frustrating to the brilliant members of the Out of Iraq caucus like Barbara Lee, Sam Farr, Lynn Woolsey, who have been trying very hard to get their colleagues to agree to hard deadlines. The other issue is in the Senate, where things are even wobblier, and fortunately I'm happy to see Dick Durbin, the number two in the Senate, is stepping up and essentially daring the Republicans to filibuster the Senate version of this bill, which is also going to be in the $50 billion range, and we'll see just how many strings it has attached to it.
Which they do. The Republican Party usually does have the power to filibuster things, because they usually can get on all on the same, you know, they're almost all on the same ticket, you know what I mean?
Right, but Jonathan, here's the interesting thing. They have used the threat of a filibuster to cut off debate, and to, you know, to come up short of the 60 votes to kill legislation. But they have not actually been forced by the Democratic leadership to conduct a filibuster. And that appears...
Essentially, they haven't been called out by the Democrats yet.
That's right. And that appears to be the gambit that is shaping up here. It remains to be seen if the Democrats will actually carry through on it.
All right, and the Blue Dog Democrats you guys are talking about, is that basically, they are Democrats, but their views usually hold with the Republican Party?
Well, they're conservative Democrats, and they definitely part ways with the liberals in their own party, and all too often, yes, they vote with the Republicans.
All right. And so they just suggest by next year that the troops are out, right?
That's correct. It is a timeline, but it doesn't actually have the full effect of forcing the president to adhere to it. And, of course, he always signs bills while crossing his fingers.
He says, I'm going to ignore this.
Yeah, by issuing signing statements. So some of it is public relations. It's for our consumption, so that the Democrats can say, look, we're trying really hard here.
We tried to vote for our candidate, basically. Right?
And I think they are trying hard. But they're up against some very difficult obstacles, and often they continue to use, the language and the ideas of the Republicans, which put them at a disadvantage because they're always on the defensive, never setting the agenda or adopting the offense. Jonathan, thanks for your call today. Great to have you listening in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. We take a break and return for more of your calls. It's your free speech zone. Call me, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B.
This is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Pacific Grove on their own home turf meets Soquel this Friday for first round CCS playoffs. Pre-game around 7:10, 7:30 kickoff.
Well, let's kick you off with a little bit of traffic, or traffic, as our French friends would say. And let's see how magnifique it is right now. A little humor here on the traffic report. Gilroy 152, eastbound after Lover's Lane. Nothing loving there. It's an accident on the right shoulder. Two cars. Traffic is approaching, very heavy, approaching the scene there. We also want to take a look at Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report, so that's good news. Let's take a look at Ben Lomond, southbound 9 after Brackney. A solo spin-up blocking the southbound lane. CHP actually on the way to the scene there. Also want to mention another problem in Watsonville on Dolan Road. Highway 1, on the right shoulder, we do have an accident being reported there. Well, in honor of Thanksgiving, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering free shipping and handling from our special radio collection. Just visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Here on the PBC show.
My son asked me today, is this another V?
Vietnam. I said, son, you know it's, well, it's, no, it's, go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried 'cause they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy, 'cause we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Shaking off. We're taking your calls in the free speed zone. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Let's check that Lockheed stock. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk.
That's my pal Roy Zimmerman, and he's cruising up to Eureka with me on Friday, November 30th. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Eureka Theater in the afternoon, our regular showtime from 3 to 6 p.m. We'll do some schmoozing between, say, 6 and 7 or 7:30, and then Roy's going to take the stage and entertain us with his wacky political satire songs, all, of course, that he wrote himself in various vocal styles. Some like Elvis, some like Al Green, and some like, well, Dick Cheney in that case. So I hope you'll come out, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Call your friends in Garberville. Tell them to come on up the road, and we'd love to see you. Petrolia. I want to turn out the whole town of Petrolia, including Alexander Coburn. So please tell your friends. It's the Eureka Theater on Friday, November 30th. Veterans get in for half price, and it's only a $10 ticket. So I'd love to see you there, and we're going to have a really good time. Now, serendipitously, Duncan writes in emails from Fieldbrook. He said, Mr. Collins, which, of course, is unnecessary, just returned from a trip to New York. Somehow, we've got to figure out a way to get the Peter B. Collins Show aired coast to coast. He said, I'm delighted you're coming to the Eureka Theater November 30th. Several close friends share a similar view of the current administration. I'm inviting them to go with us. I guess what worries me is that calm, rational, intelligent talk radio can't seem to get traction that ideologues like Hannity, Limbaugh, or Coulter do. At the risk of not being very subtle, what can we do financially to support your wonderful show? Well, Duncan, that's a softball, and I'll hit it out of the park here. Support our sponsors. Come out to the event in Eureka if you're in the area. And let radio stations outside of your area know that you support the Peter B. Collins Show. I can't announce it yet, but a major city in California is expected to pick up our show in January. We have expanded our podcasting operation. It's on green960.com in San Francisco, and will arrive soon in Seattle at AM 1090 Progressive Talk, KPTK. They've agreed to carry our podcast. So we're working on it, and your support is always welcome, and I hope to see you all out there if you can at the Eureka Theater on November 30th. Now to Warren in Sacramento. You're on the air, Warren. Thanks.
Hi, thank you. Three quick points. The first being that George Bush needs a Mel Brooks. And what Mel Brooks did for Adolf Hitler is what some good comedian out there needs to do for George. That's the first point.
Okay.
The second one, the emotionally charged issue regarding driver's licenses, I understand that. That makes sense to me. But just as a matter of public policy, it doesn't make sense to allow your geography to be populated with people whom you can't identify or know where they are rooted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a second best to a national identity card is what it is. You know, and if we did have a national identity card that in some way could also register the capacity to drive, it would deal with both issues.
Now, I have mixed feelings about that because I already have a passport. I've got a California driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the database, and I'm sure the NSA has got a file on me.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I'm still wary of going one more step to have a national ID card.
I understand, you know, and I'm sympathetic. I just don't. There's no good way to square this paradox. It's 12 million people are here who don't belong here.
Right.
And that's really difficult.
But since they are here, we cannot put our heads in the sand and say, oh, we're not going to give them licenses, and we're going to expect that they don't drive, and we're going to expect that they self-deport. I mean, I'm sorry, the right-wing position on this is riddled with fantasies.
I agree with you. Can I throw one more out before I lose you?
20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, real short. I was hoping that Butcher somewhere down the road would say, you know, who among the Democratic candidates will promise to forego signing statements and will go to Congress and say, let's legislate something so we don't have to do this anymore.
We should make every Democrat pledge that. Thank you, Warren. More calls coming up in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
We get to hear farther into space than anybody's ever heard before. Yeah.
Are there other people out there in the universe?
That's a good question. What do you think, huh?
I don't know.
It's a good answer. Skeptic, huh? Well, the most important thing is that you all keep searching for your own answers. I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe is a pretty big place. It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, seems like an awful waste of space.
We are not alone. This is Bob Oliver. I have seen UFOs using night vision equipment. You can too. They are real, just like you and me. Take the Quantum Leap Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on KRXA 540. That's 11 a.m. Saturday.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Driver's license for undocumented. Peter B. says, see. See. taking your calls here in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Stacy knows the number. She's called about six times. Hello, Stacy.
Hello. I have a terrible cell phone.
I had you on line three and then line four, and now you're on line one. I think you've been almost on every line here.
All right. I just wanted to say that I love your show, that I listen to it every day on the way home from work, and I don't understand the fear that they have of giving these people licenses. I mean, do they think that they don't drive just because they don't have a license?
This is pure demagoguery, Stacy, because you know what? What Eliot Spitzer, the governor of New York, had proposed was a driver's license that wasn't good for anything else. It explicitly, you know, marked you as a non-citizen. It indicated that this could not be used for ID purposes, say, to get on an airliner. And so it was as restricted a document as he could dream up. And even still, it just got slammed from mostly from the right, but a lot of lefties got on board here and said, hey, I'm going to ride this wave, too. I don't want to be on the wrong side of angry Americans. But this is jingoism. This is a racism. Because, you know, we've got to be really honest here, and most people aren't about this. When people talk about illegal immigrants, it is code for Mexicans and other Hispanics, mostly from Central and South America. That's what everybody is referring to when they talk about stamping out illegal immigration. Yet we know that that is not the entire problem. There are
And they could get insurance. You know, so that if they got in an accident, they'd be covered. I mean, I work for DMV. I know how hard it is to get a license to begin with. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, why would you not want to know who they are and where they are?
Yeah.
You know, it just seems silly to me that everybody would be so afraid of it. And everybody here was once an alien. So that's all I got to say.
Well, Stacy, let me just say one other thing gratuitously. I really am impressed with the way the DMV operates. I probably haven't been to your office, but the ones near me, every time I go there, things are remarkably efficient. The computer files are accurate, and the people I deal with are professional and often friendly. And that's counter to the image. I know you probably deal with a lot of people who think...
I'm the front line. I'm in a call center, so I'm the front line. Everybody calls me to ask all their questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to give you a thumbs up because I know that the DMV is often the butt of a lot of jokes. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I thought things were in pretty bad shape. But I have to say, in my recent contact with the DMV, I've been pretty impressed.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for your work.
All right. Good to have you on the program today. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number. And I'm picking up line two here, but because Stacy was on so many lines, I have to. This appears to be Mark in Elk Grove.
How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Mark. Welcome to the program.
First, quickly, just I do agree also with giving them driver's license. And, you know, this situation's not going to end until we go after people that are hiring them legally because we need them here. It's the same people that are having their homes taken care of, their lawns, their inside their house cleaning, the house that was built, and, you know, eating the fruits and vegetables that they pick. They're the ones screaming the loudest. Which is crazy. We need these people here. We need a new system to get them here legally.
Yeah, it's true. And we've got to come to grips with it. And as long as people are demagoguing the issue, we're not going to be able to have a rational conversation about it. And that's what they've done. The Republicans like Tom Tancredo know that they can stir up a lot of people across this country by playing to their fears and the hatred that is, endemic in almost everybody has biases and racist instincts. But these policies and the positions and the rhetoric used, they're consciously chosen in order to divide the public and to build support for what I consider to be the wrong reasons.
Divide and conquer and fear. And I don't know if you've read Naomi Wolf's book,
you know,
The End of America.
I haven't gotten a copy yet. We've asked for it, and we've also asked to interview her. I want to recommend both Naomi Wolf and Naomi Klein. They have both written very powerful books that I think are important for reading at this time, but I haven't read either one yet.
To summarize quickly, there's 10 steps that Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin had used to eliminate rights in their countries, And, you know, she basically was predicting before what happened, what the Bush administration was doing. And her sense is that basically, at, you know, all said and done, and you know that Bush is not going to go away quietly. They're not going to necessarily have martial law, but they're going to make sure. Actually, the district attorneys, the reason they were firing all the district attorneys is because they wanted to fix the elections in all the different counties. And their goal is to fix it. Me personally, I think there's going to be a dirty bomb before the elections. Hillary Clinton will be, you know, the Democrat, and they're all going to say, no, we want Giuliani or someone else. They're going to create a situation to make it so that they stay in power. There's nothing that they won't do, and I think they've proven that already.
How can you be so cynical, Mark?
Yeah, how can I be? I know. Isn't it crazy? But I hope it doesn't happen. I hope that we get a fresh start and we get some changes in the right direction. But I think that we'd be naive to think that they're not going to go in to all points possible to make sure that they remain power, because they still have more money to steal. There's still more oil to be gotten.
They're back trying to poach electoral votes in California. We thought that we had beaten that mole into the ground, and now the Republicans have replenished the funds. They're out there gathering signatures, paying, I think, as much as $3 for a John Hancock to get this ballot measure qualified that would require us to divide up our electoral votes instead of giving them all to the winner. And this, of course, is a really dangerous and sordid move. And what is really insulting is that it's based on the way that congressional districts are drawn in this state. And that's a result of bad judgments by Democratic leaders in Sacramento, like John Burton, who allowed this map to go forward in order to lock in all the incumbents. They decided to play it safe and just say, hey, we'll cut a deal with the Republicans. You get to keep all your congressional seats. We get to keep all ours. And everybody goes away happy. Well, the payback.
You wonder why we can't get anything done, because it's so gerrymandered that it's so dominant, Republican or Democrat. That, you know, you don't have a mixture. You don't have a candidate that has to go in there and compromise.
Yeah, they're not competitive districts, which means that if this ballot measure is approved, then Giuliani or whoever the Republican nominee is, it's Giuliani's pals who are pushing this, would pick up as many as 22 electoral votes from California. And that's huge.
Oh, I think they're going to push for him, because if something were to go off, I mean, what better man could take care of this situation? We have to elect Giuliani. You know, look how well he did after 9/11. I mean, plans are in play. It's, you just have to look at the writing wall. It's, you know, and we have to counterbalance that somehow, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you're sharp and you're vigilant, and I applaud you. Thanks for calling today.
Take care.
All right. 888-5-PETER-B. There's one line open for you. Back to your calls in just a moment. But we want to get the latest news from the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. Reporter R.J. Schulman joins us again today. R.J., how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show, Peter.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And once again, you've got the news that the mainstream media fails to pick up or pick up on. What's your angle on the swearing-in ceremony there for Judge Michael Mukasey, the new Attorney General of these United States?
Well, I was really surprised that the media didn't report what Michael Mukasey said. He said that the confirmation hearing that he had to go through was torture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. He said that was torture, even though, of course, he wouldn't talk about waterboarding as being torture.
Right.
And, of course, Bush has, weighed in on this, too, and this was also not picked up. President Bush said, of the swearing-in of Mukasey, he said, waterboard, smorgasbord, as long as my new general of attorneys knows what retroactive immunity means, he's top-notch in my book, especially when it comes to the wireless warrant tapping.
Now,
word for word what he said.
Once again, you get the verbatim comments from our malaprop-prone president, and he actually said wireless warrant tapping?
Yes.
Yeah. that's priceless. And what is Mukasey doing in his first hours on the job there?
Well, what he's going to do is he's actually going to answer the question of waterboarding, because he's going to use that technique to try to find out who actually leaked the warrantless wiretapping issue to the press.
Uh-huh.
And so when he does the waterboarding of the various suspects, he's going to know whether it's torture or not.
That's a twofer.
Yes.
Now, if you'd like to read RJ's work, all you got to do is go to the website. This gets a little complicated, but imagine there's a dash in here, p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. Those letters stand for Post Times Sun Dispatch, the publication that RJ operates. That's p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. And I reference the web address because you have an incredible photograph of Hillary Clinton here. Where'd you get that?
Well, this actually, I got this from some of those right-wing blogs. This is the one that they're going to use because they're going to push to have Hillary be the candidate. And that's why all the polls and everything on Fox is saying that she's the front runner and everyone should give up, because they really want to continue this kind of modern Hatfields and McCoys, which is between the Clintons and the Bushes. Now, that didn't come out right, but I guess that's how you would say the plural of that family's name. However, that's what they want, because it boosts the ratings and keeps this fight, keeps it continuing.
Now this picture is, I just have to describe it for our listeners who are driving and can't get to a computer right now. But her eyes are bugging out big time, and she's got this chipmunk grin on her face. it's incredible.
But it's there. It's the one they're going to use.
Do you have a photo editor there at the Post Times Sun Dispatch?
We have a whole staff of reporters and photographers and folks who are looking all over the Internet and watching all of the shows and listening to everything to make sure that we come up with the stories that everyone else is missing.
Well, there's another priceless photo here, and I just scrolled down and saw it for the first time, RJ. This is a link to your story on Bill O'Reilly and the War on Christmas.
Yes.
This appears to be the famous photo from Iwo Jima, and instead of raising a flag, they're raising a Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's actually... again, the liberal press back in the 40s substituted a photo which showed that it was a flag, when really what the Americans were doing were making sure that whatever area that we succeeded in and conquered became Christian.
Uh-huh.
And that's Bill O'Reilly has been able to expose that for the first time.
And you have a quote from his O'Reilliness. In fact, these Christ haters will start firing their ammo for the first time before Thanksgiving. These evil devil worshippers are so despicable that they want to soil a most sacred and holy day with crass and vulgar secular attacks.
Yeah, that's what O'Reilly said.
Yeah. We got word today that in Australia, in the training course for department store Santas, they have been told to no longer say ho, 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 because people consider that, a nasty comment about a prostitute. And so the Santas are being trained to say, ha, ha, ha. Do you think O'Reilly's picked up on that yet?
No, I think he's missed that one, but I can imagine that he's going to claim that, wait a minute, I'm just getting some information from one of my reporters. Yes, he is. He is going to comment on that, and that, once again, are the Christ haters laughing at Christmas.
I see. All right. RJ Shulman, thank you for your report.
Thank you very much.
It's the news you just never find in the corporate media. Log on to p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. A quick break and return for more of your calls in the free speech zone. You know my number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that, in fact, harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
And there it is. It's time for traffic. Yes, the last traffic report of the night. Let's see what's going on. Well, we do have a problem being reported right now in Santa Clara Central Expressway at Lafayette, crash right shoulder. Ben Lohman, Highway 9 southbound after Brackney, a solo spinout blocking the southbound lane. CHP is on scene in Soquel, Crystal Heights at Soquel Drive. Vehicle rolled out of the driveway and then went down a cliff and ended up on the deck of a house. Rolled out of the driveway, down a cliff, and ended up at the deck of the house. Wow. Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 before Freedom. Large piece of cardboard in the right lane. And Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M-Line. Off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. And that is a look at traffic here on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Thanks for dialing our way and sharing your commute with me. Remember, this one goes back to, oh gosh, late 70s. Sniff in the Tears. It's called Driver's Seat. And who do you want in that driver's seat? Somebody who doesn't have a license, doesn't have insurance, may not even have a registration or a valid one for the vehicle he's behind the wheel of? That's one of the things we're talking about today, and Julie has a comment from Sacramento, listening to KSAC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to make a comment on the driver's license.
Sure. Love to hear it. Go ahead.
And that is that they should have one, and on top of that, we need a comprehensive immigration bill that would include everybody wanting to come to the United States needs to go through the fields and work at minimum wage, just like the Mexicans are doing with the crops and stuff like that. Everybody should be able to go through there and go through the fields for 10 years instead of being able to come over here after they wait in their country for 10 years.
Now, what do you think about the people who work in the fields called Silicon Valley? We have thousands of people, highly educated individuals, who are granted H-1B visas. And they essentially can come to work here. They often earn less than their American counterparts. And they populate many of the research and development operations in our high-tech industry. Do you think they should have to work in the fields, or is it okay to work in a wafer fab facility?
Well, if they want to come to the United States and become citizens, they need to go through just like everybody else,
mm-hmm.
whether they have a degree or not. And because that's the only way we're going to be able to have the crops picked that need to be picked for a low price. And because I have racked my brain trying to figure out how to keep the farmers in business,
mm-hmm.
without really having to pay the high price for the field hands.
Well, what about the plan that was part of the bill that never got passed this year, which was to permit a certain number? I think it was 400,000. Of immigrants, undocumented or non-citizens, I'll put it that way, to enter the country to work for a season or two, and then they would have to return home.
I think that if they did that with every immigrant.
So you basically want a fairness across the board.
Yes.
You don't want white Europeans who fly into an airport on a tourist visa and then just stay here. You don't want them to be treated differently from those who swim across the Rio Grande or run across I-5 at San Diego.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting point. Thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Great to have you listening. Josh is on the line from Salinas. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Peter B. Good to hear from you.
Well, I'm glad you called. Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to make a couple points about undocumented immigrants and driver's licenses.
All right.
It's really a horrible system not to have 12 million people living in the country uneligible for driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. Think about what your car is worth. If you get your car totaled by a legitimate accident by someone who cannot hold insurance, what happens?
Well, we end up paying more in our insurance because you carry uninsured motorist coverage as part of your liability.
If I catch the uninsured motorist.
No. You know, if the person who hits you is uninsured, your insurance will ultimately cover it, and then they'll jack up your rates.
I hope so.
Well, that's the way the uninsured motorist coverage is supposed to work. I had one accident with this was about 10 years ago, with a man who was not a legal citizen, and he begged me not to report it to the DMV. A law had just gone into effect saying that you must report these, and I didn't do it. I felt sorry for him, and I took him at his word, and he paid me every dime he owed me. And so, you know, fortunately, I came out of that episode unscathed. But there are others who may be as ethical as the man that I had an accident with, but simply don't have the money or are afraid that if they, you know, fill out any form or show up on any government record that they'll be deported. And so we create this whole bubble of fear that these individuals live under. And they, you know, on a daily basis, they worry that La Migra is going to send them home. And
especially
so they,
especially when they're driving.
Yeah.
And if one of them gets a ticket, then he loses his car. This is a disincentive to maintain your car, to keep your car running properly and not polluting.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them hits another, they both lose their cars.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of an apartheid system. This is where our laws don't really keep undocumented people out of the country.
Well, and this is where the gas bags on the right revel in their self-righteousness. And they say, well, what part of illegal don't you understand? If they're illegal, they can't have a driver's license. Well, they're here, bozo, and they're going to be here. Despite all your rhetoric and your hate speech and your you know, dramatic legislative initiatives, these people are here and they're not going away.
And
so
let's
face it.
And claim what part of illegal don't you understand?
Yeah.
Are what I call not illegal immigrants, but illegal drivers.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who speed or who have radar detectors on their dashboard.
Gotcha. Hey, Josh, I want to squeeze in another call before the clock runs out. Thank you. Amelia in Sacramento, thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm an old woman, and I've called other programs.
Mm-hmm.
I just got some information from my kids who are part Filipino.
Uh-huh.
They're all born here, but their dad is Filipino.
Okay.
And they have relatives in the Filipino islands, and I think it all kind of ties together. They were telling me that they have cousins. They've been talking to cousins in the Philippine Islands that tell them that the Filipino, able-bodied Filipino people are leaving the Philippine Islands in droves, and they're going to the Middle East. Some of them are working for big companies or subsidiaries of the big companies like Kellogg, Brown & Root.
You're right.
Halliburton.
Yeah.
And these people are working. They have a whole slave service industry of Filipino people that are working in not just in Iraq, but in other countries like Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia.
Amelia?
They're working
Amelia, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm out of time today. I'd love to have you call back, and we'll talk further about this, but you raise a very important point. And I'm glad you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you.
Food for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant.
Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was the high point of Barry Bonds' career when he passed Hank Aaron's career home run record.
This is swing and a high fly ball right center field. Back it goes, racing back, Logan jumping up, and that ball is gone.
Today, a low point. A federal grand jury in San Francisco indicted Bonds on 4 counts of perjury and 1 count of obstructing an investigation into his alleged steroid use. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan.
The steroid charge really is fairly minor. The government's going after the big charges here, that he lied to a federal grand jury, federal charges, on his alleged use of performance-enhancing drugs. You know, it's interesting, the timing here. Baseball's big report on anabolic steroids, the so-called Mitchell Report, former Senator George Mitchell, is due out next month. So the timing here is very interesting.
Soon after the indictment was handed up, personal trainer Greg Anderson was ordered released. He spent nearly a year in prison refusing to testify against Bonds. John Burris, one of Bonds' lawyers, says he's surprised by the indictment but promises a vigorous defense.
Barry Bonds has a very good chance of being found not guilty on these charges.
The San Francisco Giants, who released Bonds at the end of the season, say this is a very sad day. Starting tomorrow, airport terminals promise to be very, very busy places. Today, the Bush administration announced an effort to ease the pain. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Referring to the upcoming holidays as a season of dread for those who travel by air, President Bush offered up a plan to address what he called the epidemic of aviation delays.
First, the military will make available some of its airspace over the East Coast for use by civilian airliners this Thanksgiving.
The FAA will put off non-essential maintenance so as to step up efforts to keep the skies less congested. And Mr. Bush called on Congress to pass legislation modernizing the FAA and its antiquated equipment. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The administration and Democratic leaders in Congress seem to be playing a game of chicken over funding for the war. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has today's developments.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said that if Congress this week doesn't pass a bill with more money, a bill the president will sign, Gates will start the planning steps to close all Army bases by